From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 2009 at the peak of the recession. Small business owners were struggling to keep their doors open and to cut costs, and a restaurateur in Rochester made a decision that, frankly, many business owners were making. He decided he would go without health insurance. John Vito owned and operated Obeglos on State Street in Rochester for more than 20 years. It was home to the city's best soups and sandwiches. That's just science. And you could hardly go in there without bumping into a judge or an attorney or a city leader. Well, in the summer of 2011, something was wrong. John had lost about 50 pounds, and his friends were urging him to get to a doctor. He felt like he didn't have time, to say nothing of insurance. But finally he went, and it turns out John was suffering from kidney disease. Thanks to the recently passed Affordable Care Act, John learned he would, in fact, be covered. But his disease robbed him of the energy required to run his business, and Obeglos sadly closed. I'm happy to report that John Vito has not stopped cooking. He's got a new project, a video recipe series supported by the Greater Rochester Health Foundation called Cooking for Your Kidneys. And I've asked him to come share his story and talk about the project. So it's always good to see John Vito back, not just because he brought cookies, but he did. Nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you, Evan. Thank you.
Always very good. And Mary Weir is with him. She's a registered dietitian. You can see her in the video series as well. What I love about the series, and we'll be talking a lot about that this hour, is that people like Mary give you stats and nutrition information on exactly what John is preparing. So that helps too. So Mary, it's nice to have you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get to know John, by the way? How did you get hooked up with John?
Well, I worked in a dialysis unit, and I worked with him. He's one of my patients, and part of my job was to help support his nutrition needs. And some of what we did every month is review the numbers with him, and that's how I got to know him.
Did you know about his cooking background when you first met him?
No, I did not.
I mean, because you're working with people, and you've got to work on their nutrition needs and helping them, and here's this guy who, I mean, as you could see some of the soups, which just, you know, they are the New England clam chowder. Are you allowed to do that anymore?
There's a lot of problems with that one. and not to mention even prior to that, I'm allergic to shellfish. So even though I made that all those years,
I didn't know that.
I never had it. As a matter of fact,
I had your share.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. You and several others, I'm happy to report.
Several thousand others. Okay, so all right. So before we get into this cooking series and how this came together, I know John has told a story on this program before, but it's been a little while. You might have seen a story on the front page of the Democrat and Chronicle a couple of years back, but it's worth going over again a little bit, John. So just setting that story, I mentioned that you decided, like a lot of small business owners, I can't afford insurance. I'm not going to have health insurance.
Well, we went back and forth. At times I had it, and then times I didn't have it. And when you can afford it, you go buy it. And it was an unfortunate part of the small business. And I was transitioning into a new business at the time, spending lots of energy and time setting it up, getting it open, which I did. And at that point, no, I didn't have insurance. And I just kind of ran out of steam.
Did you not go to the hospital that summer when you were losing all that weight? Did you not go to the hospital because you thought, I'm just so busy, that's why I'm dropping the weight, I'm not feeling good, but it's work? Or did you think, I don't have insurance anyway, I'm not going
to... No, I mean, I would have gone to my doctor because I had a doctor. Obviously, when I had insurance, I would go. And when I didn't, I wouldn't go to see him. And I just attributed everything to the stress, the work. I had opened up the second place, Baked and Carved. I was working both places, morning to night. It just seemed somewhat reasonable that I would lose some weight and not be very energetic if I'm working from 5 in the morning until 8 or 9 at night at two different restaurants. So, but, you know, at a point you say, well, maybe something's wrong, and when it settles, I'll go see the doctor, you know. And when I finally did, he just sent me right to the hospital. I wasn't there more than 3 minutes when he said, you have a choice. I'm either going to call an ambulance or you're going to have your friend drive you who took you here. And I went in, and I didn't come out for 30 days. They put me immediately on dialysis.
What was the diagnosis?
Kidney failure or end-stage renal failure at that time, renal disease at that time. And after, it took them 2 weeks to do the testing, but they confirmed it was high blood pressure. So long-term, probably uncontrolled high blood pressure.
You could have died.
Matter of fact, the doctor said to me, and there were two things, two stories I tell. The one is, when I walked in there and he took my blood pressure, the look on his face was, I don't understand why you haven't had a stroke. And 30 days later, when I was released from the hospital, I had to make an appointment with him. And the doctor from the hospital called the doctor from the, probably, well, it's too bad I'm saying it anyway, from my primary. Yeah, yeah. And the doctor said, that guy's still alive? Like he was, I think he wasn't expecting
me. I don't mean to laugh, by
no,
the way.
No, I know. And I think he was expecting me not to survive based on the condition in which I walked into that his office that day.
Yeah. Well, and only because, you know, the last hour we were talking about healthcare.
I was listening as much as I could.
I
yes,
imagine
I
you
know.
Would.
Yeah.
You're the first guy I ever met who said Obamacare saved my life.
And he did, you know. I mean, I think that there may have been some chances for me to get on Medicaid or Medicare, but, you know, the whole idea of eliminating the pre-existing condition clause, unfortunately, for those who are complaining about it, it aided me.
Yeah. And so here you are, and you, this is a great opportunity, because if you ever went into Obagalos or Baked and Carved, John always had great conversations. Yeah, he was a good listener, but John always had interesting things to say. So this is your chance. You got a microphone. We're coming off the last hour. Anything you want to add to the healthcare debate right now, John?
There's so much. I just don't. I you know, one of the things I think about is if you're going to make, certainly there are some issues with it. I think everybody recognizes that, but it's a big plan that does a lot of things. And if you're going to attempt to get rid of it, and tell us you want to replace it, you've had 6, 7, 8 years, and then there's nothing. So it just makes you wonder if the complexities involved with this might indicate that what we have is mostly good and a small amount of bad, because you haven't come up with something that could fix that or could accommodate it.
Or maybe it's politics.
Well, I'm certain that that might be an issue. So anyway, that's the I'll leave it at that, right?
Okay. Are you worried about your own situation?
Oh, every day. Every single day.
Because, with health coverage?
Oh, certainly. One of the main reasons is because the Affordable Care Act put some, and we may not recognize this in New York, but in a lot of other states, from my understanding, put a lot of restrictions about on the insurance companies about how they could eliminate your coverage without cause. So that is an issue. And then what?
Well, for you, you were on the front page of the Democrat and Chronicle as one of many people talking about organ donation, talking about the weight. What's the latest with you?
Well, that's another issue. The stats are from before a change was made in how they assessed you. I have been on 5.5 years for my wait list. They used to claim it was about a 3.5 year wait,
yeah,
but it's obviously longer. The positive side is I'm registered both in Rochester and in Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh. And last month, I had what they call a false alarm. They called me. They said, get down here. And I went and went through the testing and the long term, you know, all day in, waiting. And the organ was considered unviable. And so right in pre-op, then they send you home.
Wow.
Yeah. But what it indicates is, you know, as you're moving up the list, you're there and waiting. So that was a pretty...
Was that the first false alarm?
First
you?
One, yes.
And when you headed down there, is that in your mind that this might not work?
Oh, my God. Whether it's even going to go through, it could go. You could go through the surgery and the operation and it could fail. You could reject it.
Okay.
Lots of things on your mind.
Does that lessen the disappointment?
Certainly.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was almost disbelief at that point when I was driving. Like, is it really going to happen? So I think I didn't have any, my hopes weren't that high. Because I've heard of stories where this is quite a reality.
But after 5.5 years now, you have a better shot now? You're closer, you think?
You're closer. That's what they say. You're closer.
Yeah. Okay. How are you feeling these days? What's your dialysis treatment?
You know, I feel pretty good. You know, I get to experiment. You know, with Mary, when she was my dietitian, you know, this is one of the things I've been doing was to try to find out how much nutrition and what and aspects of nutrition could affect the way I feel and my treatments and my quality of life. And I get to experiment on myself, which is one of the things that other health professionals don't get to do. So I get to do constant assessment. I get to make my adjustments and my changes and kind of log my results. So that's the part that I can bring. And in addition, what I like to say, intensive study in food, which a lot of the other professionals don't necessarily bring to the table.
Talking to John Vito, former owner of Obagalos and Baked and Carved, two of Rochester's great gems of little restaurants that serve people for a long time. And John left the restaurateur business because of his health, but he is involved with, well, what's the website now?
Well, there are two websites, yeah. But the one that I really like people to go to is called cookingforyourkidneys.com. It redirects to the website that I've had for about 3 years. And eventually, once we build up enough content, we'll just kind of separate them so that when you go to one, you'll be getting the you know sole content for the kidney recipes.
Right. If you go to cookingforyourkidneys.com, it redirects to food and stories, which I essentially that's the best name ever because John was all about food and great stories.
Well, yeah, I'm a literalist on this. You know, my naming was always very direct.
Yeah. Very simple. And so you can still find a lot of John's stories, blog items, and his thoughts. Whether it's about, I think I've sought some interesting business concepts, but stories as well, people he's met over the years, things that have happened, and really interesting stuff, great recipes. But now you've turned your attention to cooking for your kidneys. And I know you appreciate the support of the Greater Rochester Health Foundation. How did you hook up with them?
Made a phone call.
That's it?
I called them up and I said, I have an idea and I'm looking for funding. And so they said, well, okay, come on in and we'll talk about it. And we did. And I have to say, one of the interesting things about this project, when I bring it up, I can see the sparkle in some people's eye immediately where they recognize not only the potential, but also the passion. And so they bring that up and it's not even a sell. Others maybe are a little less interested or they're not seeing the whole thing and they kind of wander away. But it was immediate when I went there. Some kind of association. So
how many episodes are you going to produce?
We have a grant to do 3 episodes. And the episodes, it's really a study. It's important for me to bring that up. There is a survey that's wrapped around the video. So you have to answer. We ask people to answer a few questions, take the video or watch the video, and then answer a few more because we want feedback. We want to know what people's thoughts are, what's your connection if you have one to this kidney disease, and that will help us direct the programming the right way.
Okay, it's cookingforyourkidneys.com. First one is up.
There's a demo that we did also that's there that doesn't have a survey. And that was the intention was that we might need this to help sell. So the team got together and Mary wasn't with us yet, but the team got together and did this video. And they were so excited that, you know, everybody, and we got the grant.
You've never looked so good, by the way. They did a great job with that.
Well, can I say Dave Dever, my guy from RevelPix, who does the editing and filming?
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes me look good. He and Maria, who makes sure that I don't look like an idiot, and Doug is my food guy, who's like making sure I'm not burning things.
I want
things.
More outtakes. Please put in a request for more outtakes.
We just talked about that. We did this filming for the next episode Monday. Mary, we were there.
Monday.
And everybody had gone, and Dave and I were taking care of a few things. And I said that the commentary so far has been more outtakes, please. I'm afraid you might get more.
You know, because John's it's fun, but you're very business. You know, you're
trying to be professional.
You're trying to be professional. You're doing a very good job of that. No, he is. And I should also mention, before we really dive in on the food stuff, tonight, the National Kidney Foundation has some awards, and they're aiming at you, aren't they?
Yeah, well, there's a group of people being honored in different categories. And I think it's the first year they're doing this here, local. They may have done it one other year in another community, but yes. So tonight, many others are being honored for our participation in
and the cooking or
For this video project. Yeah, this is the main
cooking for your kidneys.
Yeah,
that's really cool. That's cool stuff.
Thanks.
You know, so, I know John's. John's not the guy who puts big awards on shelves, but I had to do that. And you've got somebody on the line who wants to say thank you to. This is Beth in Brighton. Go ahead, Beth.
Hi, John.
Hi, Beth.
Hi. Thank you for all the years you provided the lunches for our golfers at the Bar Association.
Oh, yes.
Tournament. God bless you.
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Well, it was very nice of you to do an amazing thing. And we all appreciated what you did.
Well, thank you, Beth.
I'm sure you run into people on occasion when you're out and about who miss O'Bagalos and Baked and Carved. In fact, John and I had talked about before you got sick, you had talked about, tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm remembering correctly, doing more home parties, things like that. You know, you had a lot of ideas for cooking and catering and those kind of things that unfortunately, you know, we lost that with your illness. So I'm sure you meet people though.
We were. I was trying to go in a lot of directions and see what was next. You know, the area is a little rough for retail. I was looking for the next venture. And I started with the one on East Avenue. And that's really the combination of the efforts there is what really you know, pushed my blood pressure up and the stress levels, you know, so it took an existing issue and just pushed it over the edge.
Sure. And Obagolo is, by the way, on State Street, down not too far from the federal building. And unfortunately, it's the curse of John Vito. Nothing's been able to stick in there since then. But if you were still there, how do you feel about what's going on in the city?
It's tough. I think there's a lot of different factors going on, not just our city, but the way business is done in general, which is it's less in person, it's more online, it's more computer driven. I mean, I know it's been a long time, but you see, you know, even where the areas of development are going on, there's not a lot of foot traffic, there's not a lot of activity. There are some, but nothing like the days when we opened. I mean, and that's been a big change. I think they've got to find a way to adapt to it. I don't know how it's going to work, but they have to.
You closed in 2011, which is 3-4 years after the real smartphone revolution took out. Today, if you were still open, what percentage of your customers would you kick out of your store?
I think I might have had to make some adjustments. I'm not happy to have said that. We used to have a rule that we wouldn't talk to you if you were on your cell phone. Don't approach my counter. And I know that my friend Jim at the pizza stop still has it, but it's hard to enforce because all business is done on smartphones.
So everybody is on their smartphone all the time.
All the time.
I say as I check Twitter.
Yeah, right.
and other things there. No, I've seen it. And John and Jim Staffieri down at the pizza stop, also on State Street, two of the great personalities there. And I love that rule, by the way, because a lot of your customers, you got to know them probably because they had to talk to you.
Well, that's part of it. You know, and the other, it was business. We had a very short amount of time to serve as many people as possible. And anything that slowed that down not only affected my business, but everybody's time behind you. So that was our logic. I don't think it would hold up today.
You wrote in Food and Stories that you eventually got over the comparison to the soup Nazi. Is that true?
Yeah, I wasn't real happy about that, you know. But what are you going to do?
You know, now it's sort of a term of affection, right?
I guess it is. You know, it didn't seem like it at the time, even after that episode aired, but it was a funny day.
Rochester soup Nazi. I think that's a little over the top for John Vito.
Thank you.
Who
I
is
appreciate
the,
that.
The man behind Cooking for Your Kidneys, cookingforyourkidneys.com, which again redirects to the site that John's worked on for a few years, Food and Stories, but eventually it'll be a standalone site as they put more episodes up there. Mary Weir's here, a registered dietitian. Let's listen to a little bit of sound from the first episode, which, by the way, was cream sauce pasta with squash and carrots. And before we listen to the sound, I got to say this, John. I see the recipe and I'm like, that's like a real, that's rich. You know, that's got incredible flavor. And sometimes when you see these cooking aimed at this, or especially weight loss stuff, you know, like Nutrisystem, you can still eat steak and pizza and burgers, right, and it's all these guys, and then you get it in the mail and they're all like the size of like a nickel,
right? Yes.
Yeah,
portion
like,
size.
It's still a steak, but it's the size of a thimble. Yeah. You know, but your recipe, at least from the first episode, is the kind of thing that anybody would serve to anybody on any night.
And most of the ones that we're going to do, they're all going to be that way. So one of the things I try to say is I have gone backwards. I picked a food I want to eat, figured out why we're not supposed to eat it as kidney patients, and seeing if I can fix it. And that's where we go. And if I can, that's what we're going to provide.
It's an awesome recipe. Cream sauce pasta with squash and carrots. That's the first one from Cooking for Your Kidneys, cookingforyourkidneys.com. And let's listen to the most controversial part of this episode.
Oh,
I'm going to get them in trouble, but let's listen.
We're going to add the heavy cream. This is an interesting concept. Really high fat, and everybody says fat's bad for us, but there are some new studies that are suggesting fat isn't the worst culprit. And for us dialysis patients, the interesting thing about these heavy cream or the high fat creams is that it's really, really low in phosphorus, and that's one of the danger minerals for patients. We're going to try to keep that at a low level, so we can cook with this. Now, that doesn't mean you could add heavy cream to your cereal in the morning, but it means that when you see a recipe that has milk or a dairy product, use heavy cream.
And then the nice thing is in the video, they go on to give you a demonstration, skim 1%, 2% whole milk and heavy cream, and explains why there is a difference with heavy cream and the rest of them. Do you want to give us a little bit more on that? Both of you want to give us a little
Mary
bit more?
Well, Mary can maybe, she hasn't, you know, she's been a little quiet over here, but she'll tell you how controversial it is.
She's about to get grilled.
Yeah.
She's about to get grilled. We let John do most of the talking in the first half hour, but go ahead on this. I thought this was very interesting.
Well, we all hear heart healthy. Everybody has a different idea of what heart healthy is. But it's really applicable to people that are obese or struggling with diabetes, or they have heart disease. But if you're on dialysis, everything changes. Your food choices changes are tremendous. So not only are you on dialysis, but they also say, oh, by the way, you have to follow this diet. And, oh, by the way, your fluids are restricted. Oh, by the way, you have to manage your phosphorus. The general population is like, what? What's phosphorus?
I wouldn't even know how to manage phosphorus.
Phosphorus is something you need. Everybody needs it.
Okay.
But when you're on dialysis, you no longer have the ability to remove excess phosphorus. Phosphorus is in everything. You can't get away from it. So what John did on his video kind of gives you a little hope. He made a recipe that's very tasty, very real. It's not necessarily restricted, but yep, it has that fat in it. But unlike milk and 1% milk, it has lower in phosphorus. So here's what phosphorus means to a kidney patient or someone on dialysis. They usually go, it takes months of education to get them to understand what that is. So your kidneys can get rid of excess phosphorus. When you're on dialysis, you're dependent upon a machine to remove that phosphorus. So your role as a dietitian is to educate that person on phosphorus and how not to have that build up in your blood. And if it does, you end up with problems called, I forget what it's called actually, but we have binders that minimize the phosphorus, but when the phosphorus builds up, it can actually lay down as bone is what we call it, and then it can actually harden the artery. So similar to like high cholesterol, builds up in the blood, you have a heart attack, they find out you need stents. This can happen with excess phosphorus. It builds up, lays down as bone is what we call it. Causes excess itching. So he's developing recipes that might be a little higher in fat on this
one. On this particular one,
but it's lower in phosphorus.
I think, if I remember correctly, the phosphorus content from the heavy cream versus the others was something like a third or a fourth of what...
Well, yeah, it's significantly lower.
Much lower.
And there's another part to that, too. And, you know, and I try to emphasize this. It is more recent studies. They are kind of debunking the old study about sugar versus fat. But in this particular case, when we ingest calories, and there are more calories in this particular recipe because there are more calories in heavy cream, but we know what's in that. And if you take a lower calorie food item, you may replace those calories with a different food item in the course of a day without the knowledge of what's in that. So here we're kind of controlling as much as we can, both calorie intake, even though it's higher, and also some of the danger ingredients for people with kidney disease on all levels.
So listeners, I mean, if you know anybody with kidney disease, this is the kind of thing where it's fun to watch. Occasionally we'll get more outtakes. And
yeah.
You get this information that, you know, people like me, let's say I had a relative who was in John's position. I'm not thinking about phosphorus. I'm not thinking about what are the products. And it would be counterintuitive to believe that heavy cream could be better in any way
right.
than the others. I imagine that was a surprise to you.
It was a surprise. Okay, Mary, I don't want to call you out on this, but I have brought this information to multiple professionals in the field, and none of them knew this and had this information.
Because it's new.
No, the fact that heavy cream has less phosphorus
you're saying that a lot of the research that you're looking at sort of helps debunk some of the old ideas about it. Go ahead.
But if you think of a nutrition standpoint, if you look at the fat content, it's that much higher. So as dietitians and doctors and professionals, we don't want to add to the high cholesterol either. But if it's done in moderation.
Yeah, and the portion
recipe,
in this video is not a big portion.
It's yep. not a big portion. You're much better off with that because you know what? They're going to go out and get it anyway someplace
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think that was important. You know, working with Mary when she was at the center and with the other ones, you watch and listen to the information they give you, and it's such a restrictive diet. It is so difficult. It has, and everything that they can recommend has to be universal for all the different reasons for which you may find yourself in that facility. So it's hard for them to make these vast generalizations and have it interesting. So I find as a patient, which maybe the others don't, they just check out. They're like, you know what? I'm not bothering with that diet. I'm going to do whatever I want. And because they're not engaged. And part of what I'm trying to do is not only provide maybe targeted information, mm-hmm. but also to just start to get them engaged. Not only the patients, but the people who care for them and people who serve cook for them.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, we can maybe get them interested. Well, maybe there's other things. And And again, I think that the biggest issue is that I am the guinea pig I've been using. So I have been testing all of this out on myself, checking my numbers, monitoring how it affects my phosphorus, my potassium, my protein levels. That's our next episode, is a pretty intense discussion about proteins, even though we don't even begin to scratch the surface. But that's kind of the direction we want. Get people engaged who have this.
For you, John, when you learned what you had, how quick was the learning curve in figuring out, okay, I'm going to have to monitor phosphorus now. How do I do that? Or what are the surprise foods that have a lot or little of it? And then everything else that goes with it. You had to become literate in something that you had never thought about.
And there are a lot of issues when you find this information out. Some people go through the stages of kidney failure, and they're well aware of it through time. But that wasn't my case. I was jumped right in. It ended at end stage. You're done. You're going in. And so there was a lot of difficulties just overcoming the medical aspects before I could start to learn as much as I and be open to learning from Mary and some of the other dietitians, and then to experiment. I've been on this 5.5 years. I'd say the project has really been going 1.5 years, where maybe 2 years, but it took a while for me just to mentally get over it and then to start doing the really in-depth research about each particular food and trying to get away from the generalizations.
Do you want to weigh in on that too, Mary? Just the challenge for the people you work with to really get more literate?
It's so scary for people on dialysis because most of them come to us fresh off hospitalization, mm-hmm. where they're told, guess what, you're on dialysis. Yeah. So everything changes. So not only are they on dialysis for 3 times a week, for 3 to 4 hours, we hand them all this information, nutrition, your potassium is restricted, your phosphorus is restricted, your calcium, your fluids are restricted. Oh, you have to take all these medications. It's daunting. So for dietitians, we try and work with them a little bit at a time. We might see them 20 to 30 minutes once a month, and we have lab data that we bring to them. But if we can get through to patients, they have a much better outcome. They feel better. If you knew what the kidneys did for you, so everybody appreciate your kidneys out there. If you're not on dialysis, they are the workhorse. They do a lot for you. Don't damage them with drugs or alcohol, because you might think twice once you go on dialysis. If you have diabetes, you really want to be compliant. So that's how we try and work with people. Once they're on dialysis, we say you're going to feel so much better. If you can possibly adhere to this diet and take your medications, particularly something called binders is one medication that helps manage the phosphorus. So I think John actually is giving people hope with his videos that this can be done.
I mean, cream sauce pasta with squash and carrots, and the squash and carrots are beautiful. They're ribboned to look like the pasta as well. It is a great looking dish. It's a lot of fun to watch. And then Mary jumps in at the end to kind of tell you that everything that you're seeing here, just as a reminder, is, I was kind of writing down some notes as we went here, kind of meets the criteria for a renal diet. And so, and then they give you even more at the end, more of the stats and what you're looking at and what you've been cooking with. So just a great resource. And before we continue the conversation, there's another phone call. Let me grab Kathy in Macedon who wants to jump in. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
John, your father was my high school principal.
He oh, boy.
I have a potassium issue. Can this diet work with my potassium?
Well, one of the things we're going to do is, as we continue with the series, is we're going to target very specific issues like that. So, for instance, you know, for people with high potassium, eventually we will have recipes and information specifically mm-hmm. designed for high potassium. Now, whether or not that works, again, I'm not a doctor. And I try to remind right. people, you need to talk to your doctor and bring the information we provide. Say, is this appropriate for whatever is causing my problem? But that's an interesting point, because one of the things that the general diet does that we think is lacking is address very, very specific needs, because not every patient has the exact same problems with each one of the elements. So we're trying to, you know, narrow that and say, if you have mm-hmm. less problems with this, you can do this, et cetera.
Okay.
Can I ask why you have a potassium issue? Are you on dialysis?
No, I'm not. I'm very fortunate, and my kidneys are fine, but my potassium levels were elevated, and it came down to my diet. And I thought I was being very healthy, and eating a ton of greens and everything whole wheat and a bowl of bran every day, and my numbers were through the roof. And we went over the diet and decided that it was bizarre. They want me to eat processed food.
Kathy, what is bran? I mean, I know what bran is, but I mean, bran. What kind of bran?
A bran cereal in the morning.
Okay, yeah, like a Mueslix or something like that.
Bran cereal in the morning.
Yeah. Okay.
And all of it was caused by what I considered healthy eating.
I admit, Kathy, I am not an expert in this field. I've never heard of a recommendation of more processed food.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they want it all stripped out. It's got too much in it. They wanted me to leach out my vegetables. I mean, everything had to be white. It had to be processed. It was, I'm not living that strictly on it, but I have to be careful, particularly with my wheat intake.
Well, Kathy, thanks for the phone call. That's new to me and, you know, probably good to get all kinds of ideas.
So if you're on dialysis, you don't want to eat processed foods because many of the processed foods are preserved by something that has phosphate in them. So they really don't want you, if you're on dialysis or if you're pre-dialysis, you want to really manage that without fresh is best.
We are we're learning a lot about cooking for your kidneys. Cookingforyourkidneys.com is a new website, and John Vito is the man behind it, the longtime restaurateur in Rochester who had to leave his work back in 2011 when he was diagnosed with end-stage kidney failure and still waiting for a new kidney, but telling us his story of how he is cooking for your kidneys now, a new series of videos supported by the Greater Rochester Health Foundation. You can see the first one now. Cream sauce pasta with squash and carrots. Great recipe there. We've been talking about phosphorus. Let's get our only break of the hour, and we're going to talk more about, I want to kind of know if there are foods that John can't eat anymore because of his condition, or if he has to eat less of. And we'll talk about what else is to come. They mentioned protein. We'll talk about any other things that we're going to be seeing in the videos to come with John Vito and Mary Weir, registered dietitian. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections. In our first hour, the Consul General of the Republic of Poland in New York is visiting Rochester. We'll sit down with him to discuss international politics under the Trump administration. In our second hour, it's a one-night-only screening of a film shot in Rochester, focusing on gay conversion therapy and the harm it did on the LGBTQ community. We previewed the film Fair Haven. Talk to you then. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. John Vito, let's talk a little bit about what else you can or can't eat. Is there anything that you can't eat anymore that you love to eat that you wish you could eat more of?
That I love to eat? Well, I have to tell you, over the past several years, I've tried to sneak in a few things here and there, you know, and then just make the proper accommodations. Either take binders. They have these things called phosphorus binders. So if you ingest a lot of phosphorus or food that has it, which isn't everything, as Mary's told us, you take these binders. My potassium levels are good. I try to avoid bananas, right, Mary?
Those are high in potassium.
You know, and one thing,
orange juice high in potassium. Mm-hmm. Potatoes high in potassium. But you can eat them. People think you have to eliminate them. It's portion control.
Smaller portions.
So if you're someone on dialysis, I actually had one of my patients end up in the hospital because she had a cold, and she drank all kinds of orange juice. She drank like a gallon while her heart almost stopped, and they had to send her to the hospital because kidneys
can't
clear
control.
That.
Portion control.
So.
And I noticed when John brought cookies today, the cookies that he brought for us are smaller than the ones from Obagos.
They are. They're about half the size.
I know.
It's funny that you noticed that.
They used to be like the size of a basketball.
Yeah.
You know, like you had to like set them aside for several days.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me grab John and Henrietta on the phone who wants to also jump into the conversation. Go ahead, John.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, for those of us who are not suffering from kidney disease, what are some of the best guidelines for not ending up with kidney disease in terms of diet? Any broad suggestions? And I could take my answer off the air.
Thank you, John. Mary?
Just heart-healthy diet. Know your numbers. If you get an annual physical, look at your numbers, because what I found was there's a lot of patients that came to us that years before were getting physicals seen by their doctor, and they didn't know what they meant. Look at your creatinine. Ask what your kidney function is. Make sure your weight is stable. If you have diabetes, make sure your numbers are good. Question that. It doesn't hurt to see a dietitian once in a while. You can always get a referral through your primary care physician. Hope that answers the question.
Sure, yeah.
Very well.
Very good. By the way, John probably also would love a moment to jump on the stats on organ donation. Let me just read this. John, I don't know if this has changed over the years. This is a couple of years ago from that Democrat and Chronicle article with you on the front page. This is what they wrote. According to a report published by Excellus Blue Cross Blue Shield, only about 28% of Monroe County adults are registered as organ donors. The state rate is only 22%. The national average is 48%. I don't know if you're tracking it month by month, but I mean, you probably know better than others that we're not registered like other states are.
We aren't. And maybe the biggest indication of that is the, well, it's called, I wouldn't call them anonymous sources, but people in the community highly recommend that you move out of, you register out of state, the state of New York, to get your transplant. So they want you to dual register because they know that the rates are higher in other states and you are more likely to get a kidney faster or any other organ for that matter too.
If our numbers were different, would you have a kidney by now?
I don't know. You just don't know.
I mean, it's possible.
It's possible. Sure.
Yeah. John's been waiting 5.5, coming up on 6 years.
Correct. Yeah.
One false alarm call, but we'll see. I'd like to think that means it's coming soon. So,
And they indicated the same, that you kind of move up the list through time, and that's how it works.
Okay. I want to get back to the food. You mentioned that the next episode, what's the recipe for number two?
So the next recipe we decided was chicken French, a little local favorite. What we've done with this next one is increase Mary's presence on the video. And one of the reasons is because it's really a discussion about proteins. You know, this is high school science stuff at times, but the way it really now impacts you is what Mary and I try to point out. And so we've got a little bit more in-depth discussion, even though it's so complex, as Mary can probably expand on, even though it takes you in all different directions, that we just kind of give you some highlights in direction. Is that right?
Yeah, well, protein, the nutrient we need every day, it builds and repairs muscle. So our muscles are constantly breaking down and being repaired. If you don't have enough protein intake, you're going to go into something they call negative nitrogen balance. But you actually take from your own resources, your muscles. So you always want to have protein in your diet. I know there's vegetarians out there. You can still do it. They're called complementary proteins. There's two different types of proteins. There's proteins that we call high biological value that has all the essential amino acids, so all your needs are met. And then there's the plant-based proteins, which do not have all your essential amino acids. But if you combine certain plant proteins, like peanut butter and whole wheat bread, you're going to get all your amino acids. Pre-dialysis, if anybody's out there pre-dialysis and you're listening, your protein intake, you still need protein, but you don't need as much because protein breaks down and it goes through the kidneys. I'm saying this very simply, and it can stress the kidneys if you eat too much. So what I'm trying to say is if you're used to going to your sub shop and getting 16 ounces of meats and cheese, you're going to stress your kidneys and actually accelerate. If you're pre-dialysis, accelerate going on dialysis. So if you really learn to pay attention to your protein intake, you'll maintain your muscle mass, you'll maintain your energy, but you'll also you won't work your kidneys as hard.
But is that also true for people who are on dialysis, people like John?
It changes a little bit.
Okay.
Because when you're on dialysis, protein is actually pulled off. That's what we call it. It's pulled off at the end of dialysis, fairly large molecule. And that can, John, you can speak to this. We feel it zaps your energy.
Oh, my God. First of all, dialysis just crushes you for the whole day. I mean, you can lose the whole day. And so we started discussing proteins and what they do and how they help your muscles and the soreness. So in addition to just identifying the pre-dialysis stages 1 through 4 and then the stage 5 or end stage and the differences in intake, I've started to do a little experiment where I take my proteins that I'm going to eat before the day before. So basically, I almost elevate my proteins so that when dialysis pulls them out, I feel better. And I may not be the most scientific individual on this, but I can give you that the empirical data says I feel tremendously, I feel a great deal better. And not only that, the one factor that they do check on me, which is an albumin level, which is a protein, has been maintained and within range and high. So what I'm finding is by eating my proteins before I go in for treatment, I feel better after treatment. okay. which gives me a higher quality of life.
Do you eat meat?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's getting the essential amino. He's getting the animal-based proteins, all the essential amino acids. So you're not going to be deficient.
Right. And this is kind of the. So we take this kind of discussion, try to make it as simple as we can. Mary, with Mary's help. Actually, I'm the simple one. She tries to. She makes it complex. But then we make a food that you might associate with that you can eat.
And chicken French. Which is obviously, as you said, a local classic.
Yeah.
Did you twist it at all for this?
Zero. So it's fine. Yeah, it has a little butter in there. There's a little bit of that wine, but it cooks down. And it has an egg. You're using egg, which we didn't even discuss, but being almost the perfect protein.
It is. It's the perfect.
So there's a lot of information. And every time we do a recipe, we want to keep adding on to that information and try to help people understand better. Because as a patient, what I recognize, complete disengagement. You know, when they get approached by their dietitian or their doctor or their nurse.
They're asleep half the time.
My God, the physical draining aspects of dialysis makes you so uninterested in engaging people, but that's when they engage you.
Now let's talk about your diet.
Right.
So, yeah, that sounds great.
So that when I pitched this idea to the Greater Rochester Health Foundation, I mentioned that, and I said, if we can have this information available to people all the time at their disposal, when they're ready, online, it might have an impact.
But we should stress as well, this is for people who have loved ones. This is for people who cook for people.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, not everybody's like John, who is a kidney patient who's also a restaurateur and a cook. And some people might not want to cook, but they may be loved ones who do want to do that for you.
Right, and they want to have something that everybody can eat.
Absolutely.
And they want to make sure that it's something that's not going to have a negative effect on their patient.
All right, let me grab Sam in Rochester on the phone. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes, I have been diabetic for years, and one thing that I have found out about diabetes is that if you take care of it, it will take care of you. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure that you watch your numbers, especially your blood glucose. Make sure you keep it around 6, no higher than 7. I'd like to see it stay around 6, but no higher than 7. And make sure you stay in contact with your doctor and have your blood work done every 3 months. And make sure you take care of your circulatory system. You can take some omega-3s and some other things. And make sure you get your exercise to keep your circulatory system working. And make sure you keep your blood sugar down so that you don't put pressure on your eyes, because it can cause your retina to burst if your blood
is
high.
Very graphic.
And not where it should be.
Wow. Are
you on insulin?
There you go.
Yes, I am on insulin. I've been taking insulin ever since I found out that I was a diabetic. Hmm. But it's the maintenance you do with your diabetes that helps you. If you keep it under good control and watch it, you will be successful. You can live life just like everybody else, and you know, to make sure you stay in contact with your doctor and do the things that the doctor tell you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they have classes when you find out that you are diabetic. Make sure you go to those classes, because a lot of people think they can just skip the classes, but you have to go to those classes to find out, you know, when you're having an insulin reaction, what signs to look for, what to do when your blood sugar go low, what to do when your blood sugar, to keep it from going high. Those are the things that you need to know when you are a diabetic. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things, but, you know, you're not going to be able to discuss them just on this program. You know, it's just hours of material that one needs to know and make themselves available to when they find out that they are diabetic.
Well, Sam, thank you for that. And this ties exactly, I think, to what John and Mary have been saying about patients with kidney failure. You can stick to the program. You can learn a lot. And if you do, you're going to have a better outcome. I guess the problem, John, is it sounds like dialysis and kidney treatment is so exhausting.
Oof.
That it can be really tough to motivate people to really absorb new information.
So timing. I mean, part of that is you only get a few, 3-4 good days. I mean, most
a week.
A week. Most people who go in for treatment, if they go in the evenings, they go right to bed, and they are affected the next day. I know stories of people who came to me and said, "Oh, I've got an employee who goes in at night and comes in, but you know, the next day, but they're just sometimes not great." I'm like, "Well, it takes a lot out of you." And if you go in the morning like I do, it's like getting on the top of a blind slide. I don't know how far down it's going to go. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I know I'm going down. And whether or not I end up in bed for the whole day, or whether I just wander around in a fog, it's a crapshoot every day that you go.
Have you moderated the schedule? What are your dialysis days?
The days are always set. You go, you get a schedule. You can change it if there's openings, depending on the clinic. But you generally go every day, 3 days a week, the same time and in the same location and with the same people. And you get to know them. I mean, they become a community of people. Granted, most of them fall asleep very quickly, but you recognize them. You talk to each other. That part of it can be positive.
Are they checking out cookingforyourkidneys.com?
Sure. A few of them are. Yeah.
We need to get more of them tuned on to this. So second one's going to be Chicken French, which you're going to be able to see when?
A couple of weeks. We'll get the editing done. Dave Dever, my guy, is working diligently now after he guides us through. He might be the only one with experience in this program.
He might.
Yeah, but he's been very patient with us, and he guides us through because he's a professional at this.
And the third episode's going to be what?
So we've been discussing the third, and the topic will most likely be sodium.
Sodium.
And that is an enormous problem, mainly because salt and sodium retain fluid in your body. And I'm going to jump in on Mary's kind of ground here. My perspective.
It's your ground, too. We educated you on this. But
as a kidney patient or as an end-stage patient, we don't get rid of the fluid. So I think it's 98% of the fluid that an average body gets rid of or something in that nature. Anyway,
it's a lot.
So, but we don't. So I have a weight, and basically between treatments, it just increases. I go, and then I get drop way down. You know, they pull all that fluid off.
Pulling the fluid off.
Not just the toxins that are built up, but also the excess fluid that the body can't get rid of. So it's up and down. So sodium doesn't allow for that. It allows for retaining more fluid in the event that you have some kidney function.
So too much sodium is bad.
Oh, it's horrible.
Okay.
And we, as Americans, our diet, is, if you do any research, is way above what they recommend. So probably something, we've kind of bounced some ideas around, either a barbecue sauce, homemade, or a hot sauce, because hot sauce can add a lot of flavor, and I can reduce the sodium, and same with barbecue sauce. And one of the things, if you could find a condiment to add a lot of flavor to your foods, you'll be less likely to add the salt to your food to add the flavor. So that's kind of probably the third concept. And again, there's maybe a dozen of these different ideas, and they'll be repeated if we can get this into a long-term program. And that's really what this pilot program is about, is to establish some information, the direction, and see if we can't get what I would like to be a long-term program of 2 years and engage it as a study where we actually get people following it and seeing and tracking their numbers and finding out whether or not this actual information and exposure changes their behavior and engages them.
Got to get people to do it, though.
Right.
And that's the key. And I don't think I recall. I was enjoying watching in the first episode, watching how you kind of ribboned the vegetables and all that stuff. Were you adding salt and pepper?
Very little.
I didn't notice that.
Very little. And I tell
people, usually that's a big sort of generous portion of salt, pepper, multiple times as you go.
When you see cooking shows, you'd be surprised how much they add. But again, it's for the entire dish, which has many portions.
And you taste it as you go, and you season as you go, and you add a pinch here.
And so there's some replacements. For instance, in the demo, which I eventually will get to, maybe even redoing something on that line, we talk about Parmesan cheese and how that adds so much flavor. It's a little salty, and it's a little bit of a replacement. But in addition, there's so many differences in Parmesan cheese. You can't just go buy any Parmesan. You have to actually be diligent, read the label, because there are only certain ones that don't have hordes of other ingredients.
The phosphorus.
Have the phosphorus levels, too.
So help people out right now. They want to get Parmesan without the phosphorus. How do you find it?
You've got to find the imported from Parma or the other region, I can't recall off the top of my head,
I thought you were using a Parmigiano Reggiano, no?
Yes, I am. Parmigiano Reggiano, because it only has three ingredients. It has a little bit of salt, it has sterry, and it has rennet, which makes cheese. But if you look at the labels for all the other ones, even though they look like they are a fresh imported Italian Parmesan, there's a list of like 20 other ingredients. And as a kidney patient, we don't process ingredients.
I looked at some of that when I went in the store, and a lot of the... It's cheaper.
It's cheaper, first of all.
It's cheaper because they get a cheaper quality cheese.
Yeah.
But then they also to keep it fresh and keep anything on the shelf for that long, for 6 months, it has to have a preservative, and it's usually a phosphate-containing preservative. Same with chips, same with crackers, anything that can last 6 months and not
spoil. We don't
spoil.
Like phosphorus.
So that's what phosphorus, most of them are phosphorus-containing preservatives.
So what we've learned this hour,
keep
phosphorus
down.
Well,
you can have a little bit.
But for people, if you've got someone in your life or you end up with kidney issues, phosphorus, sodium,
potassium.
We talked about protein. Don't hang out with the Hound of the Baskervilles because that was covered in phosphorus. That was the whole trick, by the way. I'm such a literature geek.
Yes, you are.
And John, you know, it's great to see you doing well. I'm down to our last 45 seconds or so. So how do you feel like the last 5.5 years you've at least changed in your outlook for your long term? Because eventually you're going to get the call and it's not going to be a false alarm. It's going to happen for you. Could happen this year.
It is.
What's your long-term outlook?
Positive, because I think this project has given me a way to give back, to try to take everything I have learned, not only from my previous life, but from what I've gone through, and try to help others. Because I watch people around me who I don't think have that available to them. And that's really what I want to do. My hope is good. Let's see how it goes.
The National Kidney Foundation Awards tonight. John's one of the recipients for the work that he's doing with Cooking for Your Kidneys, which you can find at cookingforyourkidneys.com. Share that with someone you love who needs that, or maybe you yourself can benefit from that. John Vito, continuing to do great things in the kitchen for this community. I love it. Thank you. Thanks for the cookies.
Thank you.
Always great to see
me.
You. And I'll see you soon outside the studio, I promise. Good to see you. And Mary Weir, registered dietitian, really doing great work with John in the series as well. And thanks for sharing your expertise this
Thank
hour.
You.
Our thanks to Kat Schwarz. Always great to see Kat behind the glass. Megan Max, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope you have a nice afternoon. We'll talk to you Thursday on Member Supported Public Radio.